You know, I know what my wife's saying. He reads? What's he doing with a book? Okay, last year one of the big themes was innovation, and that theme's continuing this year. We've got Jay Rogers to talk about locomotives. Captain Chris Wood will talk about that in a second. But the reason for a book, and I've said this before, I focus on this anyway, is for my upstate New York education, which was, I thought, pretty good, but some people say it was lacking, especially when I was a lieutenant, okay? So I read a lot. I love to read, because if you want a new idea, read an old book. So this book I found in a DC bookstore just down the street from where Suzanne and I are at. It's called Modern Arms and Free Men by Vannevar Bush. Now Bush was FDR's science guy, had a lot of patents, smart man, brilliant man, part of the Manhattan Project. But what he, bottom line of this book, what he says is, if you trace, and this is for the audience, this is for my industry folks out here, thank you for being here, by the way. As you look at World War II, what Bush said is, you, with the exception of the atomic bomb, you could trace everything to a gas or diesel engine. Eli, diesel, go diesel. I got gas, 24 Chevy, sorry. Losing my train of thought. Okay. Gas or diesel engine, Eli Whitney's interchangeable parts, and Ford's production line. So as you kind of look at everything, everything you can trace back to those three capabilities. And what I would argue today, and Jay is living and breathing this, is I'd argue that if Bush were alive today, he would say the future, it's additive manufacturing, unmanned platforms, and artificial intelligence. And I don't mean artificial intelligence like what I needed in college to get through. I'm talking, it was artificial. Sometimes peer-induced, but I shouldn't tell you that part. But if you look at those three capabilities in the future, that's the future. And a lot of people accuse me, maybe rightly, as I'm too, lack of a better term, excited. I'll use that's the right word. Liquored up. I'm too liquored up on innovation. And here's the thing, with our whole hybrid logistics concept, it's a blend of old and new. I'm not wishing away anything. I'm a former armor guy, tanker. Tanks, big heavy junk, needs a lot of fuel, needs a lot of support. But I would just say in the future battlefield, with the threats that we're facing, you're gonna have to have the capability to disperse, and the technology that I just talked about will get you there. So before I bring up Chris Wood, one other thing. Anybody from here, former CD&I? Just make sure I check out the audience the right way. I'm getting taped, they're gonna hear it anyway, okay? Because I would just say that if you look at capability development in the military, it's based on a Robert Strange McNamara PVE model from the 60s. So if you got an idea, it's gonna take you anywhere from 7 to 10 years to get that idea. And I'm not bashing it because it produced things like the M1 tank, big fan. I was an A1 guy, M60, which was a death trap. I mean, M1s are phenomenal. It produces great aircraft. I got all that. But in my mind, in the future, we're gonna have to have the capability to design and produce on the fly. I mean, that's the aspirational goal. So that's what we're trying to get to. So I'm going to transition to now, and I appreciate your attention, by the way, is I'm going to have Chris Wood, who is a 220 man in a 110 world. He's one of our lead innovators. He's going to give a little overview of our innovation effort and then introduce Jay. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll be working for him someday. I can tell you that right now.
About 18 months, General. I'll let you know. So thank you for being here. I'm going to try to get through not saying the word innovation the entire time. So you can call me out as soon as I start dropping the bomb. We try not to use the word actually very often at all inside the office. Something that we've tried to respond to, as General Dana said, is looking at future logistics and the future MAGTAF and where we need to go in order to sustain that. So as I think most of us in the room know, what we have been used to, not just in Afghanistan, not just in Iraq, but looking even further back, and you can look at Vietnam, you can look at World War II, and in a lot of ways, functionally, you're not gonna notice many differences, right? We still lay our equipment out the same way, we still do supply routes essentially the same way, we still do maintenance in many of the same ways. We've made some improvements, some efficiencies, but we haven't really gotten to that next level. So our team, when we first stood up again, at this point, about 18 months ago, General, we got together and we said, okay, what is the right way to start? So we are a new office, just a few of us, a couple full-timers, and a lot of us part-timers, volunteers that just wanted to contribute. And by looking at that problem space completely fresh, those who've done the headquarters tour know that it's a very rare thing to be told, you're a new office, you have no responsibilities other than what you think you need to do in order to achieve the mission. Usually you're following process, you're following policy. And we had some of those rudders, particularly with CD&I, but we did not necessarily have the restraints that most do. So we were able to take a look at what industry was doing, what our history told us about where we need to go and how we might be able to get there, and then where the big industry is going, but also the small industry. So in doing that, particularly in looking at our history, we looked at the maneuver warfare. We looked at amphibious assault. We looked at vertical envelopment. And it really allowed us to identify that the key to where we need to go isn't in developing technology per se, even though we love things like artificial intelligence and additive manufacturing and unmanned systems. It was in taking those technologies and combining them with a concept. So when we look at, again, vertical envelopment or something like amphibious assault, it was the fact that Brew Krulak was able to say, there's this weird thing called a Japanese boat ramp that goes down on the back of the boat so that they can just offload carts. I think I can combine that with something like the Higgins boat. And then I think I can get very aggressive about experimentation with the warfighters, getting in the mud, getting in the field, and seeing what worked, and more often than not, what didn't work, and then being able to iterate and improve upon that. So we said, let's take a look at that same approach. Let's see what happens when we get technology out there. And yes, you have to be initially focused on some of those technologies in order to understand what we can do with them. But by getting those technologies into the hands of the warfighter, we needed to understand what the warfighters could do with it. And what we didn't need to understand was what we in the Pentagon necessarily thought about it, or what we in Quantico necessarily thought about it. And I think if anything we've done, if anything we've done has been overly creative or ingenuitive, then I believe it's that we said, let's take some risk, let's get these technologies out there, and let's see what the Marines can actually do with them. And not just the colonels, not just the lieutenant colonels, the commanders, but the lance corporals, the sergeants. And so we've had some great efforts under General Dana's approval, things like our warfighter innovation challenges, and I'd ask everybody to give a hand for those winners here today. So for those not familiar, well actually, let's do this. Who has seen General Dana's video for the Logistics Innovation Challenge that we ran last year? That's pretty good. So if you haven't seen it, please YouTube Lieutenant General Mike Dana. I'm sure it's the first hit that's gonna come up, sir. That's right, sir. So that video and those challenges allowed us to go to our crowd of warfighters, not just Marines in the LCE, not just logisticians in the MACTAF, but all Marines, and say, help us out in a couple key areas that we thought that there were some interesting solutions. It happened to be wearable technology and 3D printing, could have been anything, but it allowed General Dana to communicate with the warfighters, and more importantly, allowed us to and actually empower them. So it wasn't just get the ideas and see how good those ideas are. It was take the ideas, let the Marine get with the lab and actually go prototype and build something and change the Marine Corps. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with our office, within our platform areas that we like to call them, additive manufacturing, what that can do, and what more broadly digital manufacturing can do for our future battlefield so that we can maintain readiness at the point of need and continue the tempo of battle. For unmanned systems, what we can do with cargo delivery systems that are able to actually anticipate needs for resupply, or not even supply, but maybe even pre-position of small caches and what that means for the future battlefield. Completely different tempos, and it really enables the ability to aggregate and disaggregate in ways that we have certainly never seen before. And also being able to use some of those capabilities for maneuver as well, some of those very same systems. Expeditionary medical, what we could do with medevacs and casevacs. And then something we call smart logistics, which we really view as the digitization of the entire battlefield to feed logistics in order to make logistics truly the element of warfare that determines whether or not we win or lose. And those of us in the room, the logisticians, the quiet professionals, I think we all know that's always been the case, but many times we have a hard time proving that. And I think by looking again at our history, where I'll end, if you look again at maneuver warfare, you look at amphibious assault, you look at vertical envelopment, these are all logistics enablers. We may not cage them that way, we may not think about them that way, there's always going to be a trigger puller at the end of that, But this is logistics, and this is what drives us. And so very briefly, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jay Rogers. And in many ways, this is exactly what Jay has stood for in his time, both in the Marine Corps, coming in at the ripe young age of 26, sir, thank you for joining, and also being able to serve in the Philippines and Iraq. So Jay did a fantastic job, and like every good Marine, I think subconsciously, we were able to convince you that logistics is where, I can't see the word either, where disruption is needed. So with that, Jay, I don't want to take up any more of your time, sir. We'll turn it over to you, and please give me a warm welcome.